My name is Al Morse. I'm from Perry, Kansas. I'm a 70-year-old man who believes the gospel. I'm a 70-year-old man that's been deceived most of my life because I didn't know the gospel. And I was involved in the regular churches of the day who were totally deceived also. Today I'm going to talk to you about the perversion of the church. The perversion of the church. I'm going to tell you how it all started. We go clear back to when Titus, the Roman general, destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. And he killed over 1 million Jews and captured thousands and scattered thousands of Jews to all the nations of the earth. And Titus totally destroyed the Jewish temple. This was a huge massacre. And this is history, and it happened in 70 AD. And when that happened, Satan thought he had the upper hand now, that the Jews are totally destroyed forever. And they virtually were almost, but they weren't. And they're going to come back, but there's no doubt about that. God isn't done with the Jews, but now he's dealing with the body of Christ. But this body of Christ is going to come back and bite Satan. Because Satan is the one who was behind this Roman general to destroy Jerusalem and the Jews. However, to his chagrin, Satan, the body of Christ still survived and was growing and believing the gospel. So he decided to use Nero, the head of the Roman Empire, to destroy the Christians. So when Nero burned Rome, he had somebody to blame, and so he blamed the Christians. He knew they didn't, but he did it anyway. He blamed the Christians, and this is Satan behind all this, and did everything he could do to annihilate them. Nero fed the Christians to the lions. He crucified them by the hundreds. He made living torches out of them to light up the Roman roads. However, no matter how bad he persecuted them, they continued to grow. And then Satan realized he was fighting a losing battle. He was fighting a losing battle, so he turned to a whole new way of strategy. And his new strategy was to join the church. Think about it. To join the church. What do I mean by Satan joined the church? Well, let's just turn in our scriptures. Turn to 2 Corinthians. That's in the New Testament now. We got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We got Acts. We got Romans. And then we got 1 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 11. Turn to the Bible. It says 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 13. At verses 13, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." You see, he joined the church. He sent his ministers, these devils, these ministers and angels, like an angel, but they were like everybody else. They were people, but they were ministers of Satan. And that they were ministers of righteousness as far as he concerned. And he would take these people and they would get involved in a church and point this church, these churches, away from the true gospel. Let me show you what happens. While we're in 2 Corinthians, just turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This verse here truly convicted me to know the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'll start at verse 3. Paul's writing, he says, "But if our gospel be hidden, It is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Think about that. Let's do it again. In whom the God of this age, who is the God of this age? Satan. He has blinded the minds who believe not, who did not believe the gospel. He blinded them so they would not believe the gospel, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, this gospel that was preached by Paul, this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. I saw that in my own life. I totally was blinded to the gospel. I thought the gospel was the word of God all the time. Truly, I was blinded. I turned to 1 Corinthians 15 in my Bibles, and my mall marked up, and there wasn't one mark in 1 Corinthians 15, which is the gospel. Not one mark. He's totally blinded. Think about it. All he has to do is pervert the gospel. Killing Christians sent souls to heaven. And Satan didn't want souls to go to hell. He wanted souls to go to hell, where he knew he will be, which will be his doom. Satan knows the gospel. He knows anyone who preaches any other gospel will be accursed or sent to hell, and that is what he wanted. Let's turn to Galatians. Back to the Galatians. 2 Corinthians, just the next letter that Paul's. Galatians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 8. We'll just start at verses 6. He said, I marvel not that so soon removed from him that called you unto his grace of Christ, unto another gospel. You see, the Galatians have been bombarded now from the Judaizers. These are people who had believed that Christ was the Messiah. These were Jews. And they came to these churches that Paul established on the gospel and told them they had to do something. They had to be circumcised to be saved. They had to keep the law to be saved. And so Paul's writing this letter to them. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from what called you unto the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but which are some that troubled you would have perverted the gospel of Christ. They perverted it by adding to it. But then verse 8 says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which was preached unto you, he said, let them be accursed. Accursed is anathema, and it means hell. And he also said it in verse 9, as we said before, so I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which we have received, let them be accursed. Let them be accursed. This gospel we're talking about is that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's the gospel. And this gospel was given directly to the Apostle Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look while we're here. Look at verse 11. It says, but I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached by me is not after man, neither was I taught it by man, but it was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the salvation for the church, the gospel. God knows anyone who preaches another gospel will be accursed. Satan knows that, and sent to hell. And that is what he wants. Satan knows that if anyone adds to the gospel, that Christ shall profit you nothing. Now look to what happened to the so-called church of this day. The church has turned totally away from Paul's preaching, and were totally directed to the church or to the body of Christ. that the so-called church of the day only teaches the four gospels to be the guideline for the church. The four gospels is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It talks about Christ's walk on this earth today, and that is what their guidelines are. But that isn't the gospel. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, and let me show you exactly what I'm talking about. Turn back to the left to Matthew. Go back through it, through Romans, through Acts, and then John, Luke, Mark, and then Matthew. Matthew Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to start with verse 5. And this is a chapter where God has, Jesus Christ has appointed his apostles, the disciples. And it says on verse 5, it says, These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not unto the way of the Gentiles, and into any of the city of the Samaritans enter not. He says, But go to rather the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This was the command. He commanded them not to go to the Gentiles, and not to go to the Samaritans. They were half Gentiles, but only go to the lost sheep of Israel. And that was his command. Now let's turn to 15. Let's turn to chapter 15 in Matthew. Chapter 15, and we're going to start with 22. This is another time when God is telling us exactly what Jesus was doing on the earth during this time that he walked on the earth. It says, And a Canaanite woman, this Canaanite woman was a Gentile, and God, Jesus, did not deal with Gentiles during his earthly ministry. And he said, And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same borders and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O son, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But what did Jesus do? He says, But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Now this is what Jesus said concerning Gentiles. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Gentiles have nothing to do with the house of Israel. Nothing whatsoever. God, Jesus, didn't come on this earth to deal at this time with the Gentiles. And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Who are the dogs? The Gentiles. The Gentiles. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fell from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made well that very hour. In other words, she finally prevailed him, and he actually healed him. But he didn't want to. It was just totally, he said that he didn't come only to the house of Israel. We see that the church has turned totally away from Paul's teachings and totally directed to the church that was totally directed to the church of the body of Christ. The so-called church today only teaches, like I said, the four gospels and for guidelines for the church. And Jesus himself came only to the lost sheep of Israel. He also commanded his disciples not to go, as we saw, to the Gentiles. Satan has deceived the church totally. He's deceived the church totally, and he added Judaism to the church. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to deceive the church so that they would not be saved and that they would all go to hell just with him. And so, He did everything to get them to turn away from the gospel. Now think if you had a paper in front of you and you had a list of a column of what salvation is for the churches today. I'm talking about right now. And on the other column to the right, you'd have salvation for the body of Christ, which Paul have originated in and was met for us today. It was met for us today, but we've been deceived. If you look at it for salvation, what does the church believe that you had to be saved? He said would be to believe in Jesus. What does the gospel say? What does the body of Christ say? To believe the gospel. What does the church believe for salvation? To repent. What does the body of Christ say? To believe the gospel. What does the church today say we must do? Be baptized. What does the body of Christ says? Believe the gospel. What does today's church say today? We've got to join the church. What did the body of Christ say? To believe the gospel. What does the church say today? We pay a tenth of our tithe of our income. What is the body of Christ for salvation? Believe the gospel. What does the church today say? Pray to Mary. What does the body of Christ say? Believe the gospel. What does the church today say? Pray to the saints. What does the body of Christ say? Believe the gospel. What does the church say today? Work to receive the Holy Spirit. What does the body of Christ say? Believe the gospel. What does the church today say? Speak in tongues. What does the body of Christ say? Believe the gospel. What does the church say today? Confess your sins. What does the body of Christ say? Believe the gospel. What does the church say today? Strive to lead a Christian life. What does the body of Christ say? To believe the gospel. And you can go on for who knows how long. But the only way that a person can be saved today is believe the gospel. You add these all up and you see what the church says today to do, and none of these things have any salvation in them whatsoever. You add those all up and you get hell and lake of fire for everybody in the church today because they don't believe the gospel. But when you believe the gospel, you have heaven, new body in Christ, like Christ, a resurrected body, co-heirs with Christ, everlasting life, and looking forward to the rapture. That's what salvation is for believing the gospel. We ask the question, how has this happened to the church? How has this happened to the church today? How in the world did we get in the situation we got in? We just read back just a few minutes ago in 2 Corinthians. And it was dealt totally with the fact that Christ, the devil himself, has blinded us so that we could not understand or receive the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has pointed us to Judaism. He pointed us to works. He pointed us to everything that was totally contrary to the gospel. Our salvation belief is based on one thing, that we believe that Jesus died for our sins and that we were buried and we rose again. That's the gospel. But of course, it continues to grow. The gospel, it doesn't just leave us there. It fills us with the Holy Spirit. You see, now members of today's churches would say, well, we didn't believe all that list. I'd say, okay. But if you believed only one of those lists, you're lost because you've added to the gospel. You say, if you don't believe the gospel for your salvation, you're lost. You see, Jesus told us that our salvation is based on what he did, not on who he is. It's what he did. If he hadn't have died on the cross to pay for our sins, we'd still be lost in our sins no matter what. We could believe in Jesus forever. And if he hadn't paid the sin debt, we would still be lost. And we have no chance for salvation. It took his death and his burial and his resurrection in order to save us. And that's why we put our trust not in Christ, but in what Christ did, because what he did is what truly saved us. And that's the gospel. In Romans 2:16, let's turn it to it. Romans chapter 2, verses 16. We go back to the left. No, we go back to the right. I'm sorry, we're in Acts. Romans chapter 2, verses 16. It says, Romans 2:16, it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ, it'll be according to Paul's gospel. When has this happened, when God judges the secrets of man by Christ? This is the great white throne judgment. This is where everybody who is a non-believer, that do not believe the gospel, that's where they will stand with the resurrection of the damned. That's what it is. The resurrection of the people that have been in hell all these years, and on the resurrection of the people who do not believe the gospel. You see, they're not going to hell because of their sins. Jesus paid the sins for every person from Adam to the last person on this earth. Every one of them. And when they stand before the Lord Jesus at the great white throne judgment, they're going to be judged not by their sins. They're going to be judged by their unbelief. That's what's going to send them to hell, the unbelief. Because they didn't believe the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for their sins, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. That's where they'll be judged. And that's where all people are judged. Our salvation doesn't depend on believing in Jesus or taking Jesus in our heart. Our salvation deals with what Paul preached to everybody. All these letters in the book here in the Bible that he wrote from Romans to Philemon, these people were based and they were grounded on the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for them, that he was buried, and that he rose again. Now let's just, I always do it, but we got to do it. We got to turn to 1 Corinthians. You go back to the right, Romans, to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The most important verse in the Bible for your salvation. He's writing this to the Corinthian church and have already been grounded in the gospel. And he says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and by which you stand. You see, these people have already believed the gospel, not a gospel, the gospel, and they stood on it. He said, by which also you are saved. This is salvation for the church today. And there's no other salvation. This is the salvation for the church today. And it says, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. In other words, this is a heart belief. This is a heart belief, not a head knowledge. This is a heart belief that you truly believe the gospel for your salvation. He said, for I delivered it unto you first of all, which I also received. For how did he receive it? Keep your fingers right there. And this turn to Galatians. Turn real fast. It's the next chapter over. Galatians chapter 1, it says, verse 11, it says, I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. Neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ, the revelation, this is the gospel that he preached. And the gospel is, go back to 1 Corinthians 15, and we look at verses 3. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I have also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. Now, as soon as you believe that, for your salvation, you're saved. It's, you have to believe it. Now let's turn to Ephesians, just 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, the second most important verse in the Bible for the believer. Verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom also you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed. See, the word of truth is the gospel, and after you believed the gospel, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The second we believe the gospel, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You are saved, and you never lose your salvation when you believe the gospel, because the Holy Spirit comes into you and lives in you and never leaves you. No matter what, He's there, and what He does is He points you closer to the Lord each and every day, closer to Him. He actually opens up your eyes so you can understand the Word of God. You can read it. Now you can understand it. Now when your preacher's preaching the gospel to you, you can understand exactly what he's saying. Because God is working in your life. He can change your life. I don't care if you're a drug addict. I don't care if you're involved in alcohol. If you're a liar, you're a cheat, whatever you may be, God can take you right the way you are. And when you believe the gospel, that Holy Spirit will change your life. And most of the people in this world, the Christians, the so-called Christians, have no idea what the Holy Spirit is. No idea at all. But when you believe the gospel, you'll see power that you've never, ever could ever believe. It's wonderful. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just praise you and I thank you for all you do for us, Lord. And I just pray that you'll open the hearts of every person that is hearing me today, that they would receive the gospel for their salvation and be filled with the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit for their total salvation. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.